Can see it's not Pastor Dave up here this morning. We're trying to allow him just a little more time to grab some holiday vacation, some rest, some rejuvenation. And so for those who may not know, my name is Will Ruler. I'm on the staff here, and I've been asked to bring a message this morning. And what I'd like to focus our attention on this morning is the scripture that we've just read and some things that God has impressed upon me related to how we as his people respond to trials in our life. I often find that I'm sitting with people who have just received a medical diagnosis or who have encountered some major challenge in their life. And so often the first question that seems to get asked is, why me? I'm a son or daughter of the King of Kings. Why am I having to face this particular situation? And so I'd like to kind of focus on the fact that we can expect to face trials and difficulties, that trials and difficulties are part of a refining process that takes place in our lives, that God is engaged with us, helping to refine us to become like him. And as we embrace this refining process and the changes that that involves, we will become more like Jesus. We only have to look through the scriptures, and we see so many of the biblical characters who have faced trials, and some far more than others. I think of Job, how God allowed Satan to buffet Job to such a degree that he started to despair even of life and the day of his birth. How his friends accused him of sin. His wife told him to curse God and die. And Job never did find out the reason why God allowed him to suffer so much loss. For he lost his children, his wealth, his health, his crops, his livestock, even the relationship with his wife. His friends turned their backs upon him. And yet at the very end of the book of Job, we read, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my eyes. Job is one example of a biblical character who faced all kinds of trials. Another is King David. And we see through the book of the Psalms how even after he had been anointed king, David, he was chosen by God to be king, yet he spent the next 7 to 10 years having to run for his life from King Saul. But imagine his frustration with having to run and hide and subsist only on the provisions that his men could find for him. Imagine his frustrations at having opportunities to kill Saul and yet knowing that that was not what was to happen. How Saul kept pouring out his anger on David, and yet David was innocent. Throughout the Psalms, we see David crying out to God in the midst of the trials that he faced. But then so often we see the expressions of his confidence in God and his love for him. Now, David was described as a man after God's own heart. And we see that revealed all through the Psalms. Another example from the scriptures would be the disciple Peter. In Mark chapter 14, we read about Peter bragging about how he would never deny Jesus. And then only a few verses later, we see him actually denying Jesus. And he just denies him three times. And after that third denial, we read that he broke down and wept. That following that, Peter went back to his fishing. But the exciting thing is that in John chapter 21, we see how Peter is restored by Jesus. I guess for me, one of the examples of a biblical character who faced a multitude of trials was the Apostle Paul. And we see him as someone who has faced continual trials, and yet he never stops serving God. In Romans chapter 7, he speaks about his continual struggle with sin. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it begins to list some of the trials that Paul faced. Things like the fact that he was put in prison time and time again, that he was flogged a number of times, that he faced death over and over again, the fact that he received 39 lashes from the Jews on five different times, that he was beaten with rods three different times, that he was shipwrecked. He spent a day and a night in the sea, not knowing whether he was going to survive. The fact that he was in danger from his own countrymen, as well as the Gentiles. And that so often Paul was weary. He was in pain often, without sleep. He was hungry and thirsty, cold and naked. Throughout the scriptures, we see this example here of the Apostle Paul and all of the different things that he faced. And yet, he continued through the trials to serve God. I wonder when the last time was that you took time to reflect back on your life. Just the journey of your life thus far. I had opportunity last weekend to take my motorhome up to Bowron Lake, up to Becker's Lodge, and I was sitting there, and the beautiful scenery in front of me. And I took some time just to reflect back on my journey of faith. And what struck me was that there seemed to be a number of seasons, and they don't always come sequentially, but clearly there was a time of new beginnings. There was what I would describe as a springtime when my family was young. We were newly married. We were trying to instill in our children the importance of faith in Jesus Christ and in living a life that was surrendered to Him. These were years where we were constantly facing kind of new beginnings, including a relocation from New Zealand to back to Canada. There were many blessings through that season. But I recall having to come face to face with that question, well, why me? In circumstances that were trials that resulted from misunderstanding, and sometimes trials that were the result of God not supplying kind of in the way that I thought that He should. Then as I was reflecting, I was thinking on, there was kind of a summer season in my life. It was a time when I seemed to be living in the sunshine of God's provision. The health of my family was good. We enjoyed a stable family life together. I was experiencing very little through a number of years in the way of trials or turbulence in my life. And I remember constantly thanking God for that, but also kind of feeling a measure of guilt because I had dear friends that were beginning to face significant challenges, broken marriages and unstable relationships, some facing financial disasters, and others some significant health issues. And I just seemed at that season, it was kind of summer, and I was experiencing God's blessing in so many ways, and yet I could see in the lives of those around me some very real struggles. And then, kind of as the natural seasons changed, so did the season that I was living in. I found my life moving from stability to a lot of unknowns. And I began to face a variety of what were significant trials at that time. One was the music business we had established and I had poured my life into over 8 years was taken over by my partners, my business partners who were my Christian brothers, but it was done in a way that I just struggled with the manner in which this was done. And I found myself having to come back and really ask God to give me his perspective on this. Help me to understand what's going on. Are you really in control in this situation? And then to see the next business that I had launched and over a period of 5 years poured all of my resources and time and energies into, to see that for a variety of reasons stall and then ultimately fail. And I've shared this in the past, but when you get to what should be Freedom 55 and you recognize that life's not quite turning out the way I had expected. When that happened, my own self-identity was really challenged because I had an identity that was tied up in what I did, not in who I was as a son of God, as a son of God. It was at this time that Annie faced a major health diagnosis, my wife, which rocked our world and resulted in the need for a whole series of significant life decisions. She was forced to leave her career at Trinity Western University, and I, my ministry at the church in Langley. We found ourselves relocating here to Quesnel to be near family for this next stage of our journey. We left behind a lot of dear friends and a support structure. And some of these were things that at the time, it was very hard to really understand what is God doing in the midst of all these changes, and how is it that God still in control? Is he really leading? Is he really guiding us? And I'm just so thankful because God graciously guided us through each of those major decisions. And he showed us his love. He revealed the fact that as we faced decisions, we could trust him to guide us and to lead us through what seemed at the time like some very rocky waters. And then finally, as I was reflecting back, I felt like there was a season that seemed like winter. It really was a season where a lot of dreams and aspirations changed or were put on hold, that our lifestyle was severely impacted by Annie's physical disabilities. And as her medical condition became classified as palliative, there was the reality that this may not turn out the way we had wanted. And then there were thus just a series of new normals that had to come into place. And they culminated in her death about 4 years ago. So why do I share these things today? Well, it's because over time, I've wrestled with this whole question about trials and how I as a believer am to respond to the trials and the difficulties that come across my path. And my prayer this morning is that if you're facing trials in your life, that you might find some hope and some joy as you consider some of these things that relate to trials. I'd like us to focus on six, what I would call, truths about trials. The first one is this: trials are experienced by everyone. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." And so often, I have people who come who are utterly shocked with the fact that suddenly this trial is in front of them, and they're wrestling with it to know, how do I respond to this? As a follower of Jesus, we are not immune to facing trials and difficulties. A second thing is that trials have a divine purpose. And just reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, it says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." Trials have a divine purpose. A third truth that I've come to understand is that often trials last only for a while. Some, yes, they may last over a number of years, but often the trials we face are short-lived. And one of the favorite sayings that, as I would get impatient with God, wanting to know answers about why certain things were happening, Annie would say to me, "God misses a lot of opportunities to be early, but he is never late." And we saw that in our lives time and time and time again. We had an expectation towards God, but he was working in our lives. I recall a situation where we had agreed to take on a ministry position in a town 50 miles from where we were, and we were going to have to relocate. And it was at a time when there were just no rentals available. And we had to be out of our apartment on Saturday at lunchtime. And by Friday night, we still did not have a place to take the furniture that we had planned to put on the rented trailer to go to the town of Ashburton. And it was about 9 o'clock that evening when a dear brother, a Christian brother who'd been praying with us about a place, called and said, "Will, you're not going to believe this, but not only is there a place provided for you, but it's a 3-bedroom house out on the edge of town. It's in a beautiful location. It's far beyond what you described as being needed. And so, although it felt very much like last minute, God did answer in that situation. The other thing is that trials are controlled by God. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There's no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man." God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You know, God is in control even in the midst of the storms. The other is that trials strengthen us in our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul is talking about the thorn in the flesh. And he says, "For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So trials build our faith muscles. And as we exercise our faith and we stand upon the promises of God's word, and we see God's faithfulness then revealed to us, we're given greater faith to face the next challenge. And I know that is something that as we move step by step, sometimes we begin with baby steps in terms of trusting God. But as we do, God will build those faith muscles and He will allow us then to face even greater trials without wavering. The next thing is that trials come with God's grace for endurance. Once again, referring back in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That was God's response when Paul was asking God to remove that thorn in the flesh. And so he says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God wants us to reach out to Him and allow Him the freedom to fulfill His promises and to do His work in our lives. Often, though, we set out to do it ourselves, our way, instead of allowing God to have His way in our lives. You know, there's a place where to become more like Jesus, we need to engage in a process of refining. We sang that song earlier, "Refiner's Fire." And it speaks of the refining process that God wants to engage us in. I'd like to just take a minute to consider some things, the elements of the refining process. You know, there's a refiner who is Jesus. Psalm 66:10, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us as silver." He is the great refiner. And then there's the matter that needs to be refined. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29 says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" You see, in metallurgy, when they go to do a refining process, there is ore that's mixed. It is ore that is mixed with precious metals. And the objective is to separate that which is useless from that which is precious, so that ultimately there might be a valuable outcome from that. As God's children, His desire is that we become like Jesus, that we become like Him, pure and holy. And yet for this to happen, the sources of impurity in our lives need to be identified, separated, and removed, leaving only that which is valuable. In this refining process, there's a crucible, and that is the, in metallurgy, that's kind of the instrument into which the ore is placed in order to be heated. Proverbs 17:3 says, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." See, the circumstances, the difficulties that we may be facing are in essence the crucible. It's that thing that must withstand the heat that exceeds the temperature to melt the ore mixture so as to contain both the unusable dross and the precious metal. Another element is the fire, the heat that is applied in the refining process. We can probably relate to that as the discomfort or the difficulty of the trial or the issue that we are facing. Psalm 12 and verse 6 says, "And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times." Again, in metallurgy, the fire generates the heat that is applied to the crucible to result in the melting of this mixture. And as it melts, the impure part of that is the dross. It floats to the surface. And from there, that is skimmed off because that's what is unusable. For Christians, the refiner, Jesus, needs to apply heat into our circumstances at times for Him to get our attention, for us to be able or willing to actually allow Him to work in our lives. I mentioned the dross. You know, Proverbs 25:4 says, "Remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel." The ultimate objective of the process is that there would be a pure, precious metal that an artisan could take and craft a piece of jewelry or an ornament, something of great value. The purification process, then, is the replacement of the impure with the pure. Job 23:10 says, "He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold." And in metallurgy, after the heat is applied, the dross is separated, skimmed off and discarded. What is left then is the precious metal that becomes the building block for the artisan. There's one other aspect, and that is, they say when purity is reached in the refining process, the image of the refiner is reflected on the surface of the silver or the gold. And that's the indicator that purity has been achieved. You know, God's desire for us is that we would become like Jesus. There's some reasons why we are encouraged to experience joy in the trials. That seems very strange. In the New Living Testament, James chapter 1, 2 to 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be strong in character. You'll be ready for anything." I guess my question is, how often do we approach difficulties, trials, with an attitude of joy, to discover what it is that God wants to teach me through this process, and how might God use my response to this trial in a way that it will help draw people to Him? You know, there's a person, and I know that many of you may know her here in town, who recently received a very devastating medical diagnosis of cancer in the brain. And I have been fortunate to read, although she's not on my friends list on Facebook, some of you have her as a friend, and I've seen posts that she has placed talking about the journey that she is on. And I've spent some time reading the comments of various ones to the posts that she has placed. And they are comments that just, for her post just points people to Jesus. And I read the comments and I see how people have been so moved by her response to this devastating diagnosis that she faced and is facing. I read a short blog this past week by a gal by the name of Kathy Howard, and what caught my attention was a title, "Joy in Trials." And she emphasized kind of three things, and I'd like to use this as I close, that this refining process that God puts us through is His process for helping to bring about change in our lives, that we will become the people that He wants us to become. And that He uses this process to help burn away the impurities and those things that He wants to see removed from our lives. So there's this aspect, okay, there's a process of refining. There's also the reality that God has a purpose in this, and as difficult as it is for us to understand, He has a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." So there's this process. God has a purpose in that process to refine us, to mold us, to change us. And then there is God's presence. And throughout His word, He promises to be with us always and through everything. And there is something about experiencing the presence of God when we are in situations for which we have no strength, for which we may have no understanding, but we can know the peace of God in our lives because we have allowed Him to reveal himself to us in those times. Job chapter 42, verse 5 says, I had only heard about you. Now I have seen you. There's a statement that says, through the trials, we move from merely intellectual knowledge of God to experiential knowledge. And if I have one passion on my heart this morning, is that I would encourage us, each one, to seek after an experiential knowledge of God, where we take the promises of His Word, we take that knowledge of God and apply it so that we might experience that what He says is true, that He is faithful, that we can trust Him, that He can flood us with His peace in times of what may feel like just total turmoil. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. I think the desire is that we remain steadfast regardless of the trials that we face. Let's pray together. Father, this morning as we gather in this place, as we take time out from our day to be present here amongst our brothers and sisters, and as we sing songs of praise and worship, Father, as we hear from your word, our prayer today, Father, is that we would not just know about you, but that, Father, you would help us grow in an intimate personal relationship with you, that we would experience your faithfulness in our lives. God, that you would just have your way within us, in our lives and our circumstances. God, our prayer is that you would be at work in our midst, shaping us and molding us to be the people you want us to be, so that we might be found fulfilling your purpose and plan for us. So, Father, we come this morning and we pray, asking these things in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.